Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
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 Okay, I also appreciate Brother Dayo Adebayo, as you know him as, by the name, for this privilege. And I haven't introduced us, myself and my wife, Sister Ditamana. We got married on the 15th of this month in Fiji Islands. So I bless God for a successful trip and everything God took over. I want to bless his name. I also want to thank you all for your prayers and for your well wishes. I received a lot of them. Also, Brother Prasi and the family, I want to thank you. They've been praying and been following up for a while now. Brother Jonan, also, he has been following up for a while now, almost a year now, right? We spoke last year. So God bless you richly. And also for the family of Brother Paul and Sister Nancy, the Lord bless you for the reception and your hospitality. God bless you richly in Jesus' name. Also the church in general, I want to thank you all for holding up. I have seen, I call him my father, the person of our apostle, Brother Gan. He has been someone we all look up to. And for the lives that he has touched, he wouldn't do that if you are not holding forth with him.
Amen.
So I want to appreciate you for holding forth.
Amen.
Just like Joshua and Caleb held to the hands of Moses.
Yes.
You have held to the hands of your pastor. The Lord bless you richly.
Amen.
There is a reward for that. There is no work that God does not reward.
Amen.
God does not reward us because we are his sons. He rewards us because we are able to carry out the work.
Amen.
The sonship is already a reward. To be a son of God, it's not something that you paid for. It's a privilege.
Amen.
But what will be your reward is when you look back and as a faithful servant. The truth is that when David, in 2 Samuel chapter 23, when he was dying, he never remembered any of his sons. He did not mention the names of his sons. Rather, he was mentioning the names of the servants who held forth, who gave their life for the cause for which he was living, who gave their life for the throne. Those are the people that David was mentioning and was praying for. So I want us to understand this, that in all our journey, at the end of it, what God will be rewarding us for is our works.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's not because we are sons. Amen.
Amen.
So I appreciate every one of you for holding forth and also for coming together at this point in time. The Lord bless you richly in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This morning, I would just like to share with us thoughts from scriptures. So I believe we can bear with us and be a little bit patient. And I hope you can hear me. You can hear me, right? Okay, so it's fine. We're going to share from scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. And I'll be reading to verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, from verse 23 to verse 30. Permit me, I'd like to carry everyone along. So I might be repeating myself at some point to ensure that we understand what we are saying. We are in fellowship. So in fellowship, everyone must be carried along. So I will always wait for everyone to be available so I can, before I read, we must get there. Amen.
Amen.
Whatever it is, I want to ensure that everyone participates of this table.
Amen.
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 So, can we read?
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let the man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Verse 31. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. So I'd like to share with us a text I titled "Discerning the Lord's Body." Discerning the Lord's body. When I was told I will be ministering to you here, I know that we are a church well grounded in the doctrines of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And we have grown so much and built. So most times when you're coming to share to people who are well taught, you depend solely on the Lord. So that we do not just add knowledge to knowledge, but our hearts be touched.
Amen.
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 So I'm not coming to add knowledge to knowledge, but I'm coming that we might speak to our hearts, that God might impress his word in our life.
Amen.
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 So I'm speaking this morning on discerning the Lord's body. I'd just like us to take a bow as we talk to God this morning. We approach him before we can approach his word. He needs to speak to us.
Amen.
We cannot so we don't speak our mind but the mind of Christ.
Amen.
So I'd just like us to take a bow as we approach him this morning. If we have any need, anything that we want the Lord to do for us, I just want you to raise your hands. My hands are also raised. Any prayer request as we talk to him this morning?
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father,
Amen.
We come before you.
Amen.
We are but nothing without your Spirit.
Yes.
It is your Spirit that gives life. It is your Spirit that breathed, Lord, life into the man to make him a living soul. And Lord, we are here under the influence of your Spirit. We are praying and asking that you will come and have your way in our midst.
Yes.
Speak your word to each heart and take away every hindrance and stumbling block. We pray that your word will flow through the hearts of your children, that they will hear what the Spirit is saying to them. And Lord, as hands are lifted, I'm a man with my own troubles, as each and every one of us. But Lord, we come under the umbrella of your word. Your word that cannot fail, and we trust you that you are our Father that provides for us. You provide healing where healing is needed. You provide safety where safety is needed. We provide everything, Lord, for us. We depend solely on you, and we pray, Father, that you make provisions this day. If there be anyone that is sick in the body, I pray for healing this moment. I pray for deliverance this moment. In the name of Jesus. If there be any that is weak, any that is heartbroken, we pray for restoration. In the name of Jesus. Deliver your children by your word. The Bible says we send forth your word and healeth our diseases and deliver us from destruction. Lord, let that word be accomplished in the lives of your children today. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Let your word drop like rain in our lives. In the name of Jesus. And bring forth healing. And bring forth, O Lord, peace from the inner man. Strengthen us, Father, by your word. For in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. The Lord bless you once again.
Amen.
And I am not a stranger here. I am your brother and your sister, so I'm welcoming you to fellowship.
Amen.
So I believe I might be new to you physically, but we have been in fellowship. Heart has been knitted long time, and though we might be meeting for the first time, but we know each other. By the word of God, we are brothers.
Amen. Yes.
You know, most times when I meet someone and he asks, "Oh, his brother, Debayo, your brother?" I said, "Yes, he's my blood brother." And you know, blood brother? He's bearing the surname. His family name is different from yours. I said, "No, we have one family name.
Amen.
And that is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ."
Amen.
Because we are all purchased by his blood.
Amen.
So we are blood brothers. So truly, you and I are blood brothers.
Amen.
The Bible says, by one blood, God has made us.
Amen.
And that blood is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, you see, Paul was speaking here to the church in Corinth. And there's something about the church in Corinth. Many of us think that the church in Corinth was a very carnal church because of the writings, the rebuke, the many rebukes that Paul was giving to them. Aside the Galatian church, the Corinthian church is one church that received so much rebuke from Paul in his writings, in his epistle to them. And so to many people, scholars, they tell you, oh, the church of Corinthians was very carnal. Yes, Paul did say that. But I would like us to understand the epistle that Paul was writing to them and why Paul had to give them rebuke. If he never loved them, he would not rebuke them.
Amen.
If God does not love us, he will not rebuke us.
Amen.
So while the rebukes were coming, it was because of the love that Paul had. The Corinthian church was one of the churches that Paul labored the more than any other church. The labor he bestowed on the Corinthian church was more than the one he did in the Ephesians and in Colossae. And yet, it seems to be the one that the church that did not grow so much as others. Why? It is not that the people didn't want to grow. But you see, whatever God is interested in, the devil also have double interest. And the devil is going to fight. So, while Paul was bestowing his strength, his labor in the Corinthian church, the devil was also there doing his own part. Because God will not work without inviting the devil. When he's doing his work, he is a just God, so he invites his servants to take his own part. As he sends the servants of God, the servants of darkness is also there. So there's always the strife. Amen.
Amen.
So the Corinthian church, Brother Bram preached the message, Corinthians, Book of Correction. You know? And he was talking about Corinthians chapter 10. But I'd like us to just take an overview of the Book of Corinthians from chapter 1. Before we dwell a little on discerning the Lord's body, on the verses we read. So if you look at Corinthians chapter 1, to some of us who think that Corinthian church was very carnal, they had nothing. Paul was just telling them that they are babes, like children, they know nothing, and there were contentions. But you must know the reason behind the contention. You must know the reason behind why Paul was telling them that you are carnal. Amen.
Amen.
They didn't just come to church and become carnal. There was something that orchestrated those things. And we are going to look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll just read from verse 1. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and sustains our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place called upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now in verse 4 he said, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge.
Amen.
So you can see he was speaking to the Corinthian church here, and he said that in everything they are enriched, in everything, in all knowledge, in all utterance, and they come behind in no gifts. If we read further, that is, if you will talk about the gifts of the Spirit in the church, you can find every one of them in the church of Corinth. They were so gifted. Amen. So, if you talk about knowledge of the Word of God, the doctrines, the church of Corinth, they were so knowledgeable. They knew the Godhead so well. They knew the timeline. Maybe they were in our days. They knew the world clock, the time where Jesus Christ approximates will come. You know? They were so vast in the knowledge of the Word of God. So, if they came behind in none of the gifts, if truly they were enriched with all knowledge, if they knew so much, why will Paul still refer to them as babes, as children, as those who could not handle meat and strong bones?
Amen.
Knowledge should give them the ability to do anything.
Amen.
But yet, their knowledge did not bring maturity to them. So, the Bible said that if we continue the reading, in verse 6, he said, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So Paul is sure that these people in Corinth were true believers.
Amen.
They were not unbelievers. Because for the testimony of Christ to be confirmed in a person, it means that that person is a son of God.
Amen.
The same Paul made us to understand in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, when he was speaking, he was talking about that how the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. So it is God that testifies of you to be his son.
Amen.
So if it is God that is testifying that you are his son, God is testifying to the Corinthians that, listen, you are the sons and children of God.
Amen.
The testimony of God was confirmed in the church.
Amen.
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 So the church of Corinthians was not the carnal church you think. It was a church enriched with the gifts of God. It was a church enriched with the knowledge of God. Amen.
Amen.
So, but the problem is that because of this knowledge, because of these gifts, there were many people coming to visit the church. There are so many people, so many believers, so many ministers coming. When Apollos got converted, he passed through the upper coast of Corinth. So he stayed there, ministered to them. You had a lot of ministers coming in. Just as you read in Galatians, our brother was reading, how that some people troubled them. Not that they just turned on their own out of the gospel, but there were some people that were troubling them. When you hear that people are troubling them, it's not that they were having trouble from outside. No. The trouble was that there were some ministers, some wonderful preachers coming to preach certain things that the people were not supposed to be conformed to. So the church of Corinth had the same issue. They had so many wonderful gifted ministers coming around to preach, to teach. And before they could count their steps, division had come in. So some people came and said, "Oh, I am of Apollos." And others say, "I am of Paul." And even some say, "Oh, no, I'm not of Apollos. I'm not of Paul. I'm not of Peter. That is Cephas. I am of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. I am of Jesus Christ." And when they did that, they were finding themselves, "Oh." So when Paul came, Paul did not spare any of them. Even those who said, "I am of Jesus Christ, I am not of Paul, and I'm not of Apollos." I thought Paul should say, "Oh, you are correct and you are wrong." Paul did not spare any one of them.
Amen.
He came and rebuked all of them that in Christ, if you are of Christ, there is no division.
Amen.
If you are of Christ, you will be one. You will be in unity. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, we see that the church was not carnal because they were not knowledgeable. No. The church was not carnal because they didn't know doctrines. No. The church was not carnal because they were not praying. That's not what makes the church carnal. Some of us think that, "Oh, because I can pray very well, I can fast for as long as I am, that makes me spiritual." That's not what spirituality is. You have people in the Hindu religion and other religion that fast. Maybe even better than you do. Maybe even longer than you can fast. Maybe they pray more fervently than you do to their own God. It doesn't make them spiritual.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You have those in the denominations, in the traditional churches, that pray and fast even better than you do.
Yes.
That doesn't make them spiritual.
Yes.
They could do all the fasting and then they cannot even see that Jesus, that there is just one God. So who are they fasting to? Who are they praying to? They can do all the fasting and prayers and not even know that there is no hellfire burning somewhere right now. Then who have they been speaking to? They don't even know that for them to become a Christian, that they have to repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know, and they are fasting and they are praying. So who are they been praying to? After praying, they end their prayers with, "Oh, I pray to you, God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost." So all the while of waiting, maybe 10 days, maybe 7 days, maybe 40 days, they go to the mountain, they shake, they see visions, and yet they come out, they do not have the knowledge of the Word of God.
Amen.
So, but these people, our brothers in the church of Corinth, were detailed in the things of God, in scriptures. But yet there was division among them. Not only division, they also had some in the church, those who were gifted. We see in chapter 5, we will see how that there were some persons who committed fornication in the church. But you say, "Oh, fornication, oh, yes, they are humans. They committed fornication." But the fornication was not the problem itself. The problem why Paul was writing to them was not because of the fornication. It was because in their fornication, they were not remorse because they had the gifts. So the pastor could not rebuke them because it was a gifted brother that committed fornication. So Paul was saying, I can't praise you for this. Even while I'm not with you, I already condemned those actions.
Amen.
So you have gifted people in the church, in the church of Corinthians. Paul, the Bible is not just writing things to the hair. It's not just writing things so you can read and understand. No. Paul, in his epistles, was not only bringing forth revelations, but also was addressing the character of the church.
Amen.
So if you notice, when Paul was writing that there be fornications among you, it was because truly there was fornication among the people. Amen.
Amen.
And the people that were involved were those who had gifts. When Paul was writing that the women should keep silence in the church, of Corinth, it was not because he was just saying it to everyone, not only just that. Because in the church there were women, because they were gifted, and because the gift of God, the gifts of God is not limited to men only, it's for both male and female. So when the women, the sisters, receive the gift of the Spirit, and perhaps one sister is prophesying, and because she can prophesy, she wants to take the decisions in church. She wants to be the one speaking. She wants to gradually take the office of the elders. So she comes, and just with some little, not really coming out straight, she just comes and then she makes some statements in church. When Paul was laying ordinances for the family, when he said the man is the head of the family in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it was not because he wanted to speak. It was because in the church, some women, gifts puffs up. Knowledge puffs up. Because they've had some knowledge, you see the woman was trying to, leave the shadows of the man and become the edge or contact with the man in the church of the saints. So Paul had to address those issues. He wasn't just speaking to the air. God doesn't just speak to the air.
Amen.
He speaks to the heart of men.
Amen.
Amen. So Paul was speaking to the heart of the people in the church of Corinth, telling them that, yes, you have not come behind in any gifts. Yet you are gifted in doctrines. Yet you know all that you have to know about the mystery of Christ. But I can tell you that you are children because you cannot be in unity. You cannot tolerate your brother. Amen.
Amen.
You are children because there is still fornication among you.
Excuse me.
You are children because with your gift, you want to use it to manipulate the church. So Paul was writing to the hearts of these people. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Are we together?
Amen.
So, this church also had issues. In the church of Corinthians covers everything about what Brother Bram called the sick church. Because the body of Christ is a sick body that needs healing. Physically, he was bruised on every side. Amen?
Amen.
There was no part of Jesus' body that was not bruised. His eyes, he was bleeding from all of his body. All parts of his body. So, the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ, Abraham called it a sick body that needs healing.
Amen.
And that's why we come together. To be healed.
Amen.
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 And when we are talking about healing, you must understand the healing we're talking about spiritual healing.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
Excuse me. So, in the church, Paul kept on admonishing them that they need to. He then brought an ordinance for them. And what are these ordinance? A prescription that they can follow. By this, they might be able to attain unto maturity. So he started laying principles for them. He started laying the ordinances that they must follow so that they can attain maturity. Else they gather in vain. Else they run in vain. Else they've been in the church for over 30 years and then there's no result to show forth. So he gave them prescriptions. He gave them ordinances. One of them was communion. Communion has been. But he reminded them of communion.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So, this church... I still want to talk more a little about the Church of Corinth. You see, the people were gradually deviating from the faith, But their knowledge remained with them. And that is the story of Solomon. You know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, when Solomon was speaking of how he went out searching the things, what life brings, what life will have, why he was studying the behavior of people, what God had made, why are things happening the way they are happening. And he wanted to explore, but as he was exploring, he was going out of the way. He explored and married up to 700 wives, 300 wives and 700, and added up to 700 concubines. But in all of these things, the wisdom that God gave to him still remained in him. So he was deviating from the pathway, but the knowledge of the scriptures, the wisdom that God had given him was still there. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 9, he said, "And my wisdom remained with me." So you can see that someone can be deviating from the faith, and he still knows, he still has in his head, in his mind, the doctrines of Godhead. God does not take it away from him, but he is deviating. Someone can be living the faith, but he still knows how to speak in tongues. God will not take away the gifts from him. Someone can be deviating from the faith, but he still prophesies. God is not taking it away from him. And that is what was happening in the church of Corinth. They were loaded with so much gifts that people, one person, that in a church, the service can be going on, and Brother Jonah will just be speaking in tongues, and Brother Zoel will not even wait for him. He blasts into his own tongues, and Brother Prasi will just jump in and start prophesying at the same time. And you just see a sister coming and also singing in the spirit. Everything is just being modeled up at the same time. So Paul, when he came to them, he told them, listen, there has to be order in the house of God. The house of God is not a place for chicken, where everybody does crack, 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 crack. No. That's not the house of God. There has to be what? Order. Orderliness. And when he came, he started putting these things, he gave them ordinances. One from the family to the church to their personal lives. Amen. But you see, while we keep the ordinance, we must understand the essence of these ordinances that was given. So we have wonderful sisters, beautiful wives, who have long hair, as Paul said. He said that the hair is given to her for a covering. So we have wonderful sisters with their long hair, and yet they don't respect their husbands. That is just, a mannequin standing. What effect has it got? It's more like a museum. Because the essence of your long hair, is so that you can pray to God, right? But if you want to pray to God, remember the Bible says that the man should be at peace with his wife so that their prayers be not hindered, right? But I can tell you the truth, your hair given to you for a covering, you have to cover the head. The Bible says because of the angels, right? Because of the angels, because you can be able to judge the angels. Because you are the glory of the man. And so if the man well, everyone is going to judge. We are going to judge the world, and we are going to judge angels. But now you are sisters. You will be judging the angels. You want to judge the angels. The angels are also have a covering. The Bible says when they stand before the throne of God, they cover their feet, they cover their face. Covering their face is not this way. They cover all. So they have a covering. And what does the covering signify? It signifies honor. Amen? So a woman who does not honor the husband and has a covering is a hypocrite. So he has a physical covering, but the husband is not really the covering, because the actual covering is your husband. So we must understand ordinances and its essence. So we have people coming to carry the ordinances of feet washing. We come together, we sit and we wash one another's feet and go back and gossip. and go back and backbite the person whose feet you have just washed, you are a hypocrite. And the same thing happens when we come to the communion table. We come to the communion table and we commune with one another, but we are not walking in the same frequency. That's the problem.
Amen.
How can two walk together except they be agreed?
Amen.
You cannot be unequally yoked. In the Old Testament, when the farmer is to plow the farmland, he cannot bring a horse and maybe a donkey, or maybe how do I put it, the cow or the bull, and then bring the ox and then bring the horse. He can't bring them together. Those are unequal yoke. You can't yoke them to move to plow the ground because they are not at the same pace. They are not moving in the same frequency. One is going to outrun the other one. One is going to make the other one feel uncomfortable. So, for we to be equally yoked, we must be of the same mind, of the same body, of the same kind. So that is what fellowship is. That is what communion brings. So, many people, they come to the table, to the communion table, and all they remember is, Jesus, I remember you. But is that all God wants for us to remember? Is that how we discern the body of Christ? So Paul was talking to the Corinthian church here. He said, in all of the things you've been doing, all of the things he was rebuking them for, there was something that was very evident. It was the way they took their communion. Paul said, when they come together, one person will go back hungry, the other one goes back full, one has not seen the wine to drink, the other one has drunk and is drunk. And they were in the same church. And they were to have what is called the Lord's Supper. So Paul helped them to coin the word that the Lord's Supper is not just a supper of eating and drinking. It is a supper called communion. So that is why he used the word was communion. It is not just eating bread and drinking wine. It is about what? Communion. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, Paul began to let them know, you don't come to church. Come together, bring the bread, and then one has eaten and the other one has not eaten. Don't go before. Come together. When we come together, he said, wait for
Amen.
One another.
Amen.
Wait for one another.
Amen.
Be a waitress and a waiter. That is, serve one another.
Amen.
Amen. So in serving one another, there are certain things you will understand when you serve. We are born again to serve God. But you are not, every time we mention God, there's something that we believers fail to understand. Or we are used to, when we mention God, we look up. So, there's an illustration Brother Nice likes to make. When Jesus Christ cursed the fig leaf, and the disciples came the following day and saw that the fig leaves were dried up. Oh, Master, look at that tree you cursed. It's dried up. And Jesus turned to them and said, have faith in God. So I want you to demonstrate that. Maybe what gesture do you think Jesus made? Have faith in God. No. He wasn't looking up to say God. He was saying, have faith in God. The word.
Amen.
Because when he was cursing the fig tree, he wasn't looking up to say, God, come and curse the fig tree. No. He spoke to the fig tree. So if he had spoken, when he came back, and the people saw the result, He will glorify what has been spoken. And he said, have faith in God. That is in the spoken word.
Amen.
Yes, thank
you, Lord. So, and the spoken word is not coming out of the animals.
Amen.
The spoken word is not coming out of the trees. It came out of the human being. A brother, a sister. So when we're looking at, most times when we look at fellowship and we look at God, all we want to do is look up. But Paul was telling them, he said, when I come among you, I do not want to see anything but what? Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
So Paul is saying, when I come, I do not want to see Brother Zoel. But I want to see Christ and Him crucified. He was not saying Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
But he will point at Brother Zoel. He wants to see Christ.
Amen.
And Him crucified in Brother Zoel.
Amen.
He wants to see Christ and Him crucified in Brother Jordan.
Amen.
That is what God wants to see.
Amen.
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 So, except until you see Christ in your brother, you have not seen Him. Because the heavens must hold Him unto the restitution of all things. So if you are looking for a vision to see a Jesus, and you come telling me those visions, I put you aside.
Amen.
I don't need those visions. Oh, I saw Jesus in my dream yesterday. He spoke to me. It's good. It's all good.
Amen.
But Jesus told Thomas, He said, touch my hands. And when He did, He said, put it. And He put His finger into His palm. He said, yes, now you see and you believe, right? But I tell you, blessed are they that do not see but believe.
Amen.
So, if I must see, what I will see is not by sight. I must see Christ in Brother Zoel.
Amen.
I must see Christ in Brother Paul.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, when we talk about discerning the Lord's body, The Corinthian church had all gifts. One of the gifts was discernment of spirits. Right? So they had the discernment of spirit. They have gifts of miracles. They had all those gifts. So if they could discern, they have discernment of spirits. How come Paul is telling them to also discern the Lord's body? I thought they should be able to do that by just the gifts. You see the contrast here. They had the discernment of gifts. But in Hebrew chapter 5, if someone can read for me, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13.
For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe.
Okay, verse 14.
But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
So, discernment has to do with maturity.
Amen.
Anyone who can discern, who can perceive, who can recognize, the word using other translation of discernment or discerning the Lord's body, it means recognizing the Lord's body. So now, anyone who can recognize and discern actually must be someone who has grown to a certain stage of maturity.
Amen.
So, if you have still in the mixed stage, there's tendency that you have the gift of discernment. Like, gift of discernment, I mean, you can discern by spiritual gifts, but yet, you might not have gotten to this point where you can discern the Lord's body.
Amen.
That sounds somehow, right? Okay. You know, in gifts, you have gifts of faith. You have gifts of miracle working. You know, working of miracles. And you have gifts of faith, but you might not be grounded in the faith. Hello. You have the gift of faith. What does the gift of faith do? It comes, it believes. There are some persons that are, because the gifts are scattered around the body of Christ. I might not be, I might not have the workings of miracles. It doesn't mean that I don't have the gift of prophecy. God shares it across. He doesn't put everything in one man.
Yes.
No one person has all the gifts joined together. No. He puts it across. There are some persons, you can read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He said to some of them, he gives the gifts of healing, others the workings of miracles, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, and discerning of spirits. Yes, he gives that. So some persons have this gift of discerning of spirits. They come, they discern the spirits, they tell you, they perceive certain things about you, they tell you. That's a gift. But it does not bring you to the point whereby of maturity. That's not the one that brings you to the point of maturity. That's not what makes you matured. That's not what makes you be able to take strong meat and bones. No. It is you discerning the Lord's body. It's quite different from that. Amen.
Amen.
So where Paul was concerned about was not about the gifts that they have, because they have that. So there was nothing much to talk about that, except to bring it in order. Where Paul was concerned about was how they could grow to a point where they can discern, where they can recognize the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So Paul was speaking to them. The only place you will do that is in communion.
Amen.
The only place is where? Communion. That is where you recognize the body of Christ. And when we talk about communion, communion, we know it as breaking of bread and what? Drinking of wine. So when we come, it's a time to be solemn. Most of us want to descend the Lord's body. So we come, we go confess all our sins. We go, we tell a brother, oh, I'm sorry, I offended you. We do all things to purify ourselves. And then we come before God. And then we take up the cup. And we drink. And we thank God. Thank you for this cup of blessing. That is all good. And we say, oh, I have descended the Lord's body. That is fine. It is true that we must judge within ourselves. We must keep ourselves clean. Because the lamb that was killed on the Passover was a pure lamb. Right? So we must keep ourselves clean. We must purify ourselves before we come to the Lord's table. But it doesn't end there. If it ended there, Paul wouldn't have called it communion. Now, you're doing that for yourself because you are keeping yourself clean. You are doing that for yourself because you want to grow. You're doing that for yourself because you want to achieve the aim of what the scripture has said. But there is more to communion. Communion is from the word koinonia, which actually means fellowship. Which actually means partnership. Huh? So you are fellowshipping. It also means sharing. Partakers. It means intercourse. To come together with someone, a bond. So that is what communion is. So on the communion table, our fellowship, as John said in 1 John chapter 1, can we go to 1 John chapter 1? 1 John. Fellowship is not complete until you have this group coming together. Let's see that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Oh, John chapter 1, please. 1 John chapter 1. And if you read from verse 1, please, someone read from verse 1.
That which was from the beginning.
Okay.
Which we have heard. And which we have seen with our eyes. Which we have looked upon. And our hands have handled of the words of life.
Amen.
The life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us.
That you may have fellowship with who? With us. Okay? Go on.
Truly, our fellowship is with the Father.
Okay.
The Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And this says, write me unto you, that your joy may be full.
Amen.
This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness
at all. Amen.
Amen.
So our fellowship is one. Our fellowship, if you can read, I'd like us to read verse 7, please.
But if we walk in light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleansed us from all sin.
Okay, so you can see that first, we have fellowship with God and his Son, Jesus Christ, right? So, but where do we find God and his Son, Jesus Christ? In his word. And his word, when we come to his word, we don't come alone. You come into his word. And then we have fellowship with one and another.
Amen.
Because of what? The blood of Jesus Christ cleans us from all sins. So we come to that one blood and we have fellowship in that blood.
Amen.
So fellowship is not only you and God the Father. The oneness of God, God did not want to stop his oneness with the Son. He wants to continue the oneness with the church.
Amen.
So it is God in his Son and in the church.
Amen.
So that you and I can be one in God.
Amen.
In Christ and Christ in God.
Amen.
So if you don't understand fellowship, you can never see God.
Amen.
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 If you do not understand fellowship, you can never see God. Because God is not going to walk with you alone.
Amen.
God wants to have a family.
Amen.
I believe you will not want to have a family, a son, Yeshua, who doesn't want to have anything to do with Ezel. How would you feel? Is that a family? It's no family. I don't want to have a family. My father wouldn't want to have a family of four boys who are willing to kill each other. So the family must be knitted together in love.
Amen.
And that is what communion.
Amen.
So when we come to the communion table, we want to have fellowship with Christ.
Amen.
But you see, the communion, the bread and the wine, it's about something. It shows something, because the communion didn't just start, it's an offshoot of the Passover, right?
Yes.
The communion depicts the Passover as well, because it was through the Passover that Israel was born, right? It was through the Passover that the nation Israel was born. It was born out of Egypt through the Passover.
Amen.
So also we are born, the New Testament church is born out of Christ through his death. And he said, take this in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. Say, take, this is my blood, which is shed for you.
Amen.
The blood of the New Testament.
Amen.
So if that is his blood, and that is where we are born from by his death, that is where the communion began from. The knitting together of hearts began from the table where Jesus was seated.
Amen.
So he came, he gave his blood. He said, take, eat. He gave the bread. Take, drink. He gave the bread. He said, take, eat. This is my body, which is shed for you.
Amen.
But you see, the body of Christ,
amen,
I repeat, as Brother Brown said, is a sick body. Why? The bread signifies something. That's why it is broken. One, what does that signify? It signifies pain, suffering.
Amen. Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 11. If we read verse 20. Yes.
Therefore, into one place. This is not to eat the Lord's supper. When he eats it, everyone is kept before others in his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Are he not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise he the church of God, and shame them that have thoughts? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. But I have received from the Lord that which also I deliver unto you.
Okay.
And the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it.
Amen.
Then, eat. This is my body which is broken for you.
For you. Hold on, please. Hold on, brother. There's something there. The Bible, Paul was speaking, he said, I deliver unto you that which I receive of the Lord. Amen. That the same night. So, your salvation, it was born out of death and resurrection, right? Amen. But that death and resurrection did not just come. It came by betrayal. Yes. Christ was betrayed. Maybe you have never been betrayed before. So, before Christ even started the suffering on the cross, he was suffering of betrayal already. So on that table, maybe you think that Jesus Christ did not love Judas Iscariot. Maybe you think that Jesus Christ didn't love him. Oh well, he's the one to betray me, so I don't love him. You know? Do you think Jesus was like that? He didn't like Judas Iscariot? He worked with him for 3.5 years and he didn't love him? If he did that, then he's not worthy to be. You can't say he's not a sinner. You can't say he's not a sinner. He said, the prince of this world have come to me and they found nothing. He was free of hatred. He loved all. And in John chapter 13, he said that. Can we read, please, while you pause there, let me just read John chapter 13. What happened on that table? Verse 1 and 2. It says here, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he would depart from out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, son of Simon's son, to betray him. The Bible said that he loved them to the end.
Amen.
He loved them to the end. Even when Judas was betraying him, he still washed his feet.
Amen.
Amen.
In Judas' betrayal, Jesus washed his feet.
Amen.
And most of you, as much as Jesus was expecting betrayal from Judas, yet it was still surprising to his flesh. Because when Judas came to meet Jesus and kissed him, what did Jesus reply? He said, friend, you betray me with a kiss?
Friend.
He still called him friend.
Friend.
You betray me with a kiss? So, wasn't he aware that Judas was going to betray him? So, why was he still asking him if he is the one betraying him with this kiss? Why does it sound surprised? Because even at that, Jesus wished, as a man, he still willed that Judas wouldn't do it. He still loved him. So, you can see that his death, before the suffering came, he was already suffering betrayal. Do you know what it means for not only a friend, for a brother to betray a brother? A friend. Someone who had given himself his life. So the same night with Jesus took bread, he was betrayed. That same night. And what did he say? He said, take. This is my body which was what? Broken.
Amen.
So the body of Jesus was what? Broken.
Amen.
So physically, we saw those bruises. Broken. But spiritually, we see that his body is broken on the communion table.
Amen.
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 But as it's broken, you know, the bread itself shows suffering.
Amen.
It is baked in fire. Is suffering. Right?
Amen.
It is crushed with the teeth. Is suffering.
Amen.
The wine came out of the wine press.
Amen.
You know how it is made. It is crushed.
Amen.
It shows suffering. So all you talk about is the death. But there is the death has got its quality, its characteristics. The death did not come without suffering.
Amen.
The death of Jesus never came without suffering.
Amen.
He suffered everything any man could suffer.
Amen.
To bring salvation.
Amen.
And that's why the book of Isaiah was speaking, and he said he was a man in Isaiah chapter 53. He was a man acquainted with grief.
Amen.
A man of sorrow. And he said, we esteem him not. Do we? Where do we esteem him? On the communion table.
Amen.
That's where we can esteem Christ.
Amen.
Because many people do not esteem his suffering. God wants, Jesus Christ wants us to esteem his suffering.
Amen.
So when we stay, when we come to the communion table, I'm using the physical one now, the literal table. We should understand that what we are, the bread we are breaking, is bringing us to remembrance of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The lamb in the Passover in Exodus chapter 20, in Exodus chapter 12, the lamb in verse 8, can you read that? Verse 8.
They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it.
Okay, it was because it, you will roast it with fire. So that is an innocent lamb suffering this. So it has to be roasted with fire. And then you eat it with bitter herbs. And if anyone remains, what will happen to it? What should happen?
And he thought of each wrong, and something along with water, roasted with fire, his head and his legs, and his pertinence thereof. And he shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That which remained of it until the morning, he shall burn it.
Burn it with fire. Suffering. The lamb has to go through this suffering, this cruel pain, for the children of Israel to be delivered. Jesus Christ has to go through so much pain and grief and sorrow to death until he died and resurrected so that we can be free from bondage. But how do we appreciate his death? How do we share in his death? It's on the communion table. We recognize the death of Christ. That the body of Christ was broken for us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you see, that is the literal bread. That is the literal wine. But now, when we talk about the body of Christ, we shouldn't be looking at the literal body anymore.
Amen.
You are not a witness to that. But when you know him by the power of his resurrection, you become part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
So the mystical body of Christ also is going through suffering.
Amen.
And grief.
Amen.
Except you identify yourself in that suffering and know Christ in that grief, you cannot be conformed to his death.
Amen.
You cannot talk about communion. You cannot talk about fellowship.
Amen.
So Paul, Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, we quote, that I might know thee and the power of his resurrection.
Amen.
And the fellowship of his suffering.
Amen.
Being made conformable to his death. You know, it is quick. We are quick to quote, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Because we want to perform miracles. Because we want to lay hands on the sick. But you don't go further to talk about the fellowship, the communion of his sufferings.
Amen.
That knowing him is not about the knowledge, like I know, I remember. No, 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 no. It's about knowledge is an intimacy.
Amen.
Knowledge is an intimacy. That is why when the virgins, when they entered into the room, the secret room, which we call the copa, when he entered there, and then the of foolish virgins were coming, Jesus Christ said, I never knew you. That is, he never had intimacy with them. So, how, when we have intimacy with Christ, we are not only having intimacy with his joy and his crown, we are having intimacy with his suffering. Because we cannot learn much without going through that suffering. Because how did Jesus learn? The Bible said that he learned many things by what? Sufferings.
Amen.
He learned obedience by suffering. So you cannot be obedient on the dining table and chatting and smiling and dancing. No. That's not how you learn obedience. You learn obedience by fellowship of his suffering.
Amen.
By being partakers of his suffering.
Amen.
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 So when we come, how do we recognize the body of Christ? How do we discern the body of Christ? We have to be partakers of the fellowship of his suffering.
Amen.
It's not only to know, it's not only to remember, but we have to share in that suffering.
Amen.
And we have to understand that as we are sharing, it brings us to obedience of the knowledge of Christ. As we are sharing, it makes us conform to his death. The Bible says that if we suffer with him, we will reign with him.
Amen.
But if we deny him, then he will deny us.
Amen.
So now the church might be going through some form of, you know, struggle and pains and grief. And some people don't want to identify with that. They run away.
Amen.
Some people, they start becoming unstable. You have not recognized the body of Christ. You must be partaker of that suffering.
Amen.
You see, some people, the church, every assembly will have its time of pain, its time of grief. It is part and parcel of God's promise to his church. When he was telling, even to his ministers, when he was giving them the promises in Mark chapter 10, verse 28, they that will leave father, mother, children, everything, wife, he will give them in hundredfold all of these things. They did not leave persecution, but he will add to them persecution. So it's a promise that God is giving. Anyone that must come to Christ is an example. So if he suffered, we must suffer. So the church will go through certain kind of suffering. And you are not the one to determine the kind of suffering you want to go through. You don't choose. When God was speaking to Jeremiah about the grinding of the mill, he told him, he should not worry, that there are different types of grinding. There are some that cannot be beaten. There are some that have to be grinded. There are some that have to be passed through, that has to allow the mule, the ox, to pass through them. It is God that determines that. Because he's the one that knows his vessels.
Amen.
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 So, once we come to God, we must understand that fellowship, that communion, it brings us to closeness with him.
Amen.
You will never understand maturity until you pass through this stage.
Amen.
They were telling Jesus, oh, you know, I want to be like you, Jesus. You know, his disciples. I want to sit with you in your throne. I want to become great like you. And Jesus said, don't worry. For now, you are not able to be baptized of my baptism. He said, Jesus, what is your baptism? We will do it. And Jesus said, surely you will, but not now. A lot of us, you know, the kingdom of God is not in bread and butter. Anyone that will come to God, if you want to walk with him, count the cost. Count the cost. So that you don't come to God and murmur. In the life of, we talk about so much about the glory and the faith of Abraham. We never saw the fears of Abraham. After the encounter with Melchizedek, after using 318 men thereabouts to defeat 5 kings and other nations. Just a few years later, God had to come to Abraham and told him, Abraham, you just calm down. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. I said, please, when he wants to see God speaking, he's not speaking to the air. He's not speaking because he wants to speak. He's addressing something. There was something about Abraham. Abraham had just finished defeating the enemy with the help of God. And then came back and was still afraid of the same defeated enemy. What if these nations come back and they come to fight against me and just 300 men? What if even the people that I made allegiance with, my ally, what if they turn against me? I will not be up to 300 anymore. What would happen to me? And God came to him and said, listen, forget about that. I am your shield. I am your protector.
Amen.
Abraham was not only thinking about that, because sometimes, you know, mankind, we don't think about one trouble at a time. When we have troubles, we don't take one after. You know, the troubles don't come to us like you have this trouble one, so you deal with this one, then another one comes. They come back and forth. They just come to us. So, and when you want to think about them, you want to worry about them, you worry about everything at the same time. So your thoughts are just, you know, just joined together. So Abraham was not only bothered about his protection, he was also bothered about the heir, his inheritance. And they will just kill me. They kill everything I have. And they'll just take over all of these wealth that God has given to me. And I don't even have a son. See, I don't even have a son. So, Abraham was just thinking about everything. Before God could come and say, listen, Abraham. I am not only your shield, but I am your great reward. You will not remain this way. There is something ahead for you. Amen.
Amen.
But Abraham also had fears. So, we as believers, when we come to God, we are in a communion like this. We come to commune. Huh? There's one thing we must come. We come to have fellowship. When we come to the church is a place like the building. When we gather, let me use the word gathering. When we gather, we come to our fellowship. Huh? And we come to hear the word of God.
Amen.
And also to talk to God.
Amen.
So it's a fellowship. So when we come and we sit at the table of God, learn to recognize the body of Christ.
Amen.
And what does it mean? Understand the pains. Understand Amen. The suffering of Christ.
Amen.
And you will not do that except in the life of your brother.
Amen.
Except in the life of your sister. You must learn to go on your knees and talk to God about it. There's something, the devil is very tricky. He has devices. That's why the Bible says we should beware of his devices.
Amen.
Growing up then, when I newly came to Christ, I'll be walking on the street and then a thought will come to me about a brother and we'll just pray. And sometimes I'll just call and the brother or the sister says, oh, thank God you called. I was passing through this. But you see, the devil does not sit down and fold his hands and clap for you and say, oh, good work. Let me leave him and go to someone else. No. So, after a while, I'll be walking on the street and the thought of Brother Prasi will come to me. And then, the next thing I'll do is that I'll remember the last fault Brother Prasi had. I remember the last thing that the pastor said against Brother Prasi. While he was preaching, I'll remember the last sin that Brother Prasi committed and maybe told me about. And I'll start to nurse it. I'll nurture it. That was the devil walking. Instead of me, that thought did not come so that I can condemn Brother Prasi. It came, I don't know what was happening, but so that I can pray for Brother Prassi. So that I can call Brother Prassi and encourage him in the Lord.
Amen.
But the devil will also come with his own thoughts.
Amen.
So when I'm working and Brother Prassi's thoughts just comes to me, and all I want to do is to remember the last offense. No. God wants us to share in the sufferings of the body of Christ.
Amen.
He wants us to be partakers. It is not time to run away from God.
Amen.
It is not because that brother is passing through a lot, it means that God is not with him. That's not true.
Amen.
Why is he sick? It's because he has done something evil. That's not true. In the church, there were many that were sick in the days of Paul with his great ministry. The Bible says that he left Epaphroditus sick, near to death. And what was Paul's prayer? He was praying, God, if you don't heal this man for himself, heal him for us, so that we will not have sorrow.
Amen.
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 So it is not because someone is a sinner, that is why he's sick. It's not because he has done something wrong, that's why he has one trouble or the other. In Christ, there is suffering.
Amen.
And not that the Bible said that he pushed man to destruction. And it is not this vanity that he pushed man to, it is not the will of the man, it is his will.
Amen.
There's something he wants to bring out in us. There is an obedience God wants to bring out in you. If we talk about Job, there's so much we know about Job. You are the one that is looking at the confession of God. You know? It was not the friends of Job that told Job that told us that Job was a perfect man.
Sorry?
It wasn't the friends of Job that told us that Job was a perfect man, was it? Was it Elihu that said that Job was a perfect man? In Job chapter 1 and chapter 2, was it Elihu that was speaking? Or any of his friends? Who was speaking that Job was a perfect man? God. So when you read the Bible, you see Job as a man without fault. That's not true. God's testimony is not your testimony.
Amen.
God's righteousness is not your righteousness.
Amen. Amen.
The righteousness of God is by faith.
Amen.
So when you come with your own righteousness, you come with the righteousness of don't touch not, taste not, see not. That's your own righteousness. As long as this brother, he's pure, he's good, he doesn't curse, he doesn't have any, he's so loving, that's your own righteousness. But that's not what God sees. God sees the seed, the spirit man. So when God was talking about a man that was perfect, a man that had no fault, believe me, if you are in the days of Job, you will find fault. In fact, the accusation that Job had was his fault. A man was sitting down, a brother in church came and was seeing Job's fault. And God was saying to the man, I have not seen anything about this man. He's pure. And he said, no, God, is he not Job? He's too proud. Is he not Job? He's too this. But God was saying, no, he's perfect. He's perfect. That is God's testimony. So Job was not the perfect man in the sense of literally, you know, perfect faith. No, he was not that perfect man. God was testifying of his spirit in Job.
Amen.
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 That was what God was testifying, not this flesh. There is nothing good that can come out of this flesh.
Amen.
This flesh will do the good things that it can do to the literally. This flesh can do the good trains, the good cars, but it cannot connect to God. It can't. And as long as you walk in this flesh, you will always have, you will always be an enemy of God. For you to contact God, you need the spirit man, faith. So what God was talking about Job was the spirit.
Amen.
The spirit upon Job. It was the perfect fruit. Job was able to contact God and walk with God rightly.
Amen.
But there were certain things that Job needed to learn. You know, in all Job was suffering, he knew that God was at work. But he wanted to know why God would punish a good man like him. He wanted to know why God will have to make him go through this suffering when he has done nothing. He was a just man. He was a righteous man.
Amen.
But God wanted him to learn obedience.
Amen.
And as much as Job continued to boast, God continued to increase the flame of his suffering. Until the day that Job sat down and confessed that he is man and God is God.
Amen.
When he humbled himself, then God healed him.
Amen.
So, I want us to understand that in all of the suffering in the body of Christ, when we talk about the body of Christ, we talk about the mystical body of Christ.
Amen.
In all the suffering, God wants us to learn obedience.
Amen.
And the good thing about the bread that we break is that though we be many, we break bread, right? We be many, but we are one. The breaking of bread does not bring division. The fact that it's broken and divided among us does not mean that the bread is divided. The bread is still one. I'll give you an instance. Remember, the bread is the body of Christ, which is broken for us, right? So, if the body of Christ is broken, note, in the breaking, in the killing of the lamb, the body is broken, right? That is, the body is cut off and given to be eaten. But there's something you must understand. The bones must not be broken.
Amen.
So, the church might be broken in terms of suffering, but the skeletal structure of the church remains.
Amen.
It is still united to one body.
Amen.
So the breaking of bread does not bring disunity of the body. In fact, the more the bread is broken, the more united we become.
Amen.
Because the aim of the communion, of the sharing, is so that we might be partakers of this one body.
Amen.
So that we might come in and become the Word of God. So, if suffering is separating you, then there is a problem with you. If the suffering of Christ separates you from the body of Christ, then there's a problem with you. You should check the spirit. Because the suffering of Christ should bring us together into the unity of the faith. Not separating us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, Paul, when he was speaking, as we round up Philippians chapter 3, if we read from verse 7,
I count all things for loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and who counts them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering.
To his death. So this is where we must know Christ. Paul was great in the law. Paul, he knew, he learned under Gamaliel. He said if he was in the flesh, he could boast. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But he said all of these things, they could not help him conform to Christ's death. There is no way he can be one with Christ with the knowledge of the law, with his titles, whether he be a bishop, a pastor, an apostle, that does not bring you to the maturity of Christ. But what will bring you is first the knowledge of the power of his resurrection, and then the fellowship of his sufferings. Recognizing the fellowship of his sufferings. That is what will make him conform to his death. You can go to the water and be baptized and come out. Some people, I baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Brother Abraham baptized me. He doesn't secure your salvation. I know that's pretty hard. But the name of Jesus Christ was pronounced on me. Yes, it still does not secure your salvation. Except because the major thing first is, do you believe? Or it's because, I heard it was Brother Abraham, so I have to go and be baptized. God gives a solution, he gives a prescription. But if you do not believe in it, and you just go into it, then you've just gone to bath, and you're out again. Because what is the baptism? It is the baptism of death. The baptism shows what is death, burial, and resurrection. Everything about Christ is bringing us back to his death. Because without his death, we cannot be alive. But note that his death has got certain characteristics, and one of it is that he died through suffering. He died by being betrayed. And we must be acquainted. He wants us to acquaint ourselves with his own suffering. Don't only seek for the glory of God. We must seek and be partakers. We must humble ourselves to go through the sufferings of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when we come together to this table to break bread, we are breaking bread. To drink of the same cup, we should understand that we are all of one body.
Amen.
And we are partakers of that one body and one cup.
Amen.
And we are joined by his spirit.
Amen.
So therefore, if we are to get one body, the eye cannot say to the feet, I don't have need of you.
Amen.
I am the one taking all the sufferings, so you go away. No. These parts of our body are neatly and fitly joined together.
Amen.
In one particular hope.
Amen.
The harmony in which the body operates, sometimes you can't tell. That I'm going on the road and then I just hit my feet to the ground, or a sharp object pierces through my feet. The distance between the feet to the eyes is far. But everything has to respond to that feet.
Amen.
Sometimes your hands begin to shake. Sometimes, most times you even start crying. The eyes have to respond with tears. All of these have to come. They are working just to ensure that the pain is reduced.
Amen.
So they are trying to support the feet. So as we are together, we must understand that a brother's pain is the church's pain.
Amen.
Amen. When you kneel in prayers, it is not about you. It is not about your work, about your family. It is about the family of God.
Amen.
God must reveal to you.
Amen.
About your brother.
Amen.
He should tell you what your sister is going through, And she cannot tell to be prayed for because she's afraid. If the half are neatly joined together, you will know.
Amen.
And you will be in prayers.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Most times I never knew that brother was going through that sickness. It is because you are not paying attention. You are not you have failed to recognize the body of Christ. If you had paid due attention, you would have seen that.
Amen.
He comes smiling. She comes smiling. She comes sick and she tells you, "Oh, I'm good. Everything is fine." And especially the kind of society that we are in, where everything just works so fast. Oh, I'm done, I go, happy, and then home, from homework, and all of those stuff, we keep rotating that way. So most times, it seems as though we don't have the time to come together often time. But even in our closets, we can come, you don't need to see him to pray with him. Paul, from where he was commending Epaphras. Not because he was praying with Epaphras, but he was commending him that he was always in prayer for the church. How did he know? There was a heart connected together.
Amen.
We must have communion. Fellowship. This fellowship. Paul was telling the Corinthians, he said, ensure that you mind one thing. And that one thing he's talking about is Christ. When I come to you, I don't want to see anything. I don't want to see how beautiful you are, how loving you can be. I'm not interested in any other thing from you, but I want to see Christ.
Amen.
And him crucified.
Amen.
I pray that today, that our hearts that have gone so far away from one another, God will bring them together.
Amen.
There has always been a promise. When the prophet broke the sticks, he talked about the joining of the sticks. So fellowship have been broken in our hearts. It's not physical. Some I've seen people gather, but they are not together. It's not about how, in fact, let this place be filled up. It doesn't mean that you're still in fellowship. Some people, this person just come to church. But that's not what we are talking about. We're talking about true fellowship. The fellowship that is with the Father, with His Son, and with one another.
Amen.
I pray that the Lord would grant us grace.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I just want to pray with us. If we can bow our heads. And talk to God about this word. If you have heard something, if God has spoken to you, I want you to commune with Him in the light of His word. The word of God is a discerner of thoughts and is sharper than a two-edged sword. It can kill, it can heal. The word that created is the word that destroys. So when we come into His presence, the word of God goes forth to us that it might destroy the things that God has not planted, and it might plant in us trees that will bring forth fruits in due time. And here we have come. Just commune with Him and ask that you might know Him in the power of His resurrection, that we might not forget Him when the fellowship of His suffering arise. We might not look back. The Bible said that he that put his hands in the plowshare and turned back is not worthy of the kingdom. It's a time of waiting. It's a time where things seem to be rough. But that is the time God is interested in His sons.
Amen.
God always meets His children when things seem to go wrong. Saul was called to be king because he went out to look for his father's sheep. He didn't run away from his responsibility. Lord, I pray that we will not run away from our responsibility in your body. Help us that our hearts be knitted together in one love, in one baptism, in one faith. We pray for every heart that has strayed away from the Word of God, from the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that God, as He went through and got that one lost sheep, that He will go forth by His Spirit and turn the heart of His children back to Him. He had made a promise that the law will not be written any longer in stones, but in hearts. We are asking, Father, this day that you will write your word in the hearts of your children.
Amen.
We pray for your children this day that you will anoint them with your power. Help them to be steadfast. Bring down the walls that the enemy has raised amongst them, and help them, O Father, that they might be united in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not of you, Lord, that we should be divided. It is not of you that fellowship should not, O Lord, happen to us. We pray, Father, that we might be partakers of that one bread. As your children are together, we pray. Help them. From our hearts, Lord, we come to you. We ask for your help in the lives of your children. For we know that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. You're building us up, Lord, to fulfill all obedience, that we might be able to bring down every form of disobedience in our environment. Oh, we pray, Father, that you grant your children strength to trample upon the devil, upon the hands of Satan. We pray for your strength in the lives of each and every one here.
Yes.
We ask that in this time of trouble that you will strengthen them. As many that are weak in faith, may you send down your rain. Rain, Lord, your word upon their lives. The Bible says, in the days of your power, your people shall be willing. I pray, Father, that your power will come upon your children.
Amen.
Will break, Lord, every barrier.
Amen.
Every high wall that has been raised. Every citadel of doubt. Lord, we pray, as the wall of Jericho was brought down, let such be brought down this moment. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Cause your children, O Lord, to have access. Because they are citizens of heaven, having fellowship with you. As the angels look, Lord, as your angels look towards your face, I pray that they will have fellowship with one another and with you, O Father. Anoint each and every one of them with your power, with your grace, with your hands upon them. I come against every form of limitation in the life of your children. Every form of limitation working in the lives of your children, I come against you in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your children receive faith. Let your children receive strength. Every form of heaviness, the enemy is trying to walk and press them down. Lord, I pray this moment that you will lift them up. Chase the enemy far from them and give them victory. In the name of Jesus. Lord, you remember their works. Their works have gone far and wide across. Lord, I pray, dear Lord, you will not turn your back on them. At this time, you will not turn your back on them. Lord, touch every heart. Heal every heart. Amend broken spirits. And let, Lord, there be liberty in your presence. In the midst of your children. I declare peace in these troubled times. That the river of joy will flow. It will flow in the heart of your children. Deliverance has come upon them. And they will not be put to shame. Your word has spoken it. Your word has declared it. We believe and we stand upon that. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We are grateful for your word that has come, O Father. We thank you, Lord, for you have not just, Lord, added knowledge to us, but you have spoken to our hearts. And Lord, we pray that these words will have effect. Lord, we will not go out and this word being stolen from our hearts, but Lord, these hearts are good grounds by which, Lord, the seeds are planted and will bring forth blessings, will bring forth fruit in folds. 30, 60, and 100 folds. Your children will begin to burn in the spirit. They will begin to be strengthened and have the might of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. We bless you. And commit, Lord, each and every one, the elderly ones, as many that are sick, maybe feeble. Lord, you said that none shall be feeble in our midst. I pray, O Lord, that you strengthen their bones.
Amen.
Give them strength. Heal and raise, Lord, whoever is down. Let them be raised in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I pray for your peace once again. Where there are troubles, Lord, let your peace flow. Let it flow. In the name of Jesus. Arise for their sick. And let the earth keep still to hear your voice in their life. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We bless your name. Receive glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The Lord bless you.